Yeah, I want to preach this morning on God's way or man's way. So Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Man has always liked to serve God on his own terms, to serve God in the way as best seems fit for him, with his own ideas, his own methods, his own rules, his own opinions. And religion is really man's attempt at serving God his way. This is nothing new, is it? Man has been religious since the beginning of time. And here we see at the very beginning, back in the book of Genesis, Cain trying to offer God a sacrifice of just vegetables and fruit. Not something that God had prescribed, doing it his own way, but God rejected Cain's offering because it wasn't what God had prescribed. God required a blood sacrifice, didn't he? Which was what Abel brought, and God accepted that. What God wants from you and I is obedience. That man would do things God's way. But we see throughout time that man likes to do it his own way, doesn't he? And, you know, in the book of Genesis, you see Nimrod, who set up a false religious system. And it's been going on throughout time immemorial. Man is instinctively religious. He likes to serve God on his own terms. And the architect of false religion behind it all is Satan. When you look at the world, we talk these days about multi-faith and all these things. There's a heading towards, isn't there, of a one world religion. All strands supposedly of the same God. Man is building Babel again. Because religion, you see, serves man and not God. It allows man to serve in his mind, to serve God, but yet gratify his own flesh and his pride and his self-glory. It allows us to serve God and yet indulge the flesh, to be carnal, to keep control of our lives and still remain on the throne of our own will. It's about man being in control rather than submitting to a holy God and letting him control us. And when you look at the world's religions, it's man's attempt to serve God, working in his own strength, with his own rules, with his own legalism, with false worship, false humility, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's salvation by works, by ritual, by formulas. Man is still bringing the vegetables and the fruit to the altar because it makes him feel good about himself. Whereas Christ's sacrifice on the cross is all about what God has done for us, saving us by his grace, washing us with his blood, renewing us by his spirit, transforming us with his truth. Man's attempts are in vain, aren't they? And God will pull them down. He will confound them. He will confuse them, just as he did with Babel. But the thing about religion, it's a spirit behind it, isn't it? There's a demonic force behind religion, and even as believers, we can be influenced by a religious spirit. Just because we're a Bible-believing Pentecostal church, that doesn't exempt us from becoming just religious. Having our own legalisms, our own formalities, which can stifle out the life of God. It can put up barriers to God moving amongst us. In our own individual lives, we can resist the Spirit. We can ignore the Word of God. We can do things our way, and that's just as much religion as any other. When it comes down to it, who's in control of our lives? Is it us or God? The default mode for mankind is religion, when he's not walking in the Spirit but wants to maintain the pretense that he is. We substitute obedience for religious behaviour. We do the outward things, but we neglect the inner obedience to Christ. We neglect the weightier matters of love, justice and mercy, and we strain at the gnats. We go for the hobby horses that annoy us about others just to excuse our own disobedience to God. We become the brother plank, looking at the specks in everyone else's eyes, and we ignore the big one that's in our own. And religion would rather do things any other way but God's way. Any other way but the way of the cross. But the way of self-denial and death to self at the cross. But the only way to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is to die with him. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6 and 12 says, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You see, we have to go to the cross if we're going to serve God. And that's a road many people aren't prepared to follow. Because that means having to give up our rights and going God's way. It means relinquishing control of our lives to God. It means death to sin, to selfishness, to self-gratification. It means living a crucified life to please God and not men. And it's costly. And yet it comes with the grace of God and the peace of God. Because it's God's way. It's not man's way. There was a church in the New Testament that was becoming religious. Galatia. Oh, foolish Galatians, Paul exhorted them. Who has bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, he said, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Colossians 2, 6 and 23 says this. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Man's way. Self-imposed religion, false humility, neglect of the body, appears to be wise, but it's just a form of godliness. But Paul tells us here, it is of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. It doesn't stop you from indulging the flesh. And that's what religion does. It allows man to carry on indulging his flesh, as long as he looks outwardly religious. But God's looking at the inner man. God sees the hatred, the bitterness, the pride, the lust, the perversion, the greed, the falsehood, the rebellious spirit. And yet religion justifies itself by keeping its rules, by observing its days, by abstaining from foods, by wearing the outward garments. But just like the Pharisees, inwardly, ravenous wolves. Whitewashed gravestones. Galatians 4:9-11. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have laboured for you in vain. See, men love religion more than faith. They love being under the law rather than being in Christ. They love being in bondage to legalism rather than being free in Christ. They love the life in the flesh rather than the life in the spirit. Because following Christ means having to change. It means having to die to sin. But only so that we can be free to live in the spirit, in the power of God, in his grace. Colossians 3:3-17 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are to put off the old man. Religion hates that, putting off sin. It would rather cleave on to bitterness and envy and pride than having to change and actually forgive others and to be content and acknowledge the power of God. See, true faith is relying on and trusting in God for everything. It's submitting our will fully to him. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to rule in our hearts and minds. It's a full surrender to Christ, holding nothing back. In the Old Testament, Saul, remember, he kept back part of the booty, didn't he? The best of the sheep, etc., etc. And Samuel said, "What's this bleating that I hear?" And Saul tried to excuse himself, didn't he? He made religious excuses for his disobedience. But the fact was, he rebelled against God. He disobeyed. And 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Saul was trying to be religious, but he disobeyed God. And that's what religion does. It rejects the word of the Lord. It substitutes it with man's interpretation on the best way to serve God. God wants obedience. What God wants is the inner man, a heart obedience, a willingness to obey Christ. To obey is better than sacrifice. What God wants is the inner circumcision of the heart, not the outward appearance of religion. Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" From Cain's offering of vegetables to the might of the Roman Catholic Church and to all the other harlots of Babylon, that man has been trying to build and serve God in his own way in order to exalt himself and to become as a God with himself on the throne, to serve the flesh and not the spirit. Many think that they're serving God in their religion. And sincere though many are, doesn't make them right, does it, before God? Do you know, you can be sincere, and I'm afraid you can be sincerely wrong. There is only one way to God, through Jesus Christ, through the atoning blood of Calvary. No penance, no indulgences, no amount of taking mass, doing the rosary or churchianity is going to save us. Only Christ, only the cross, the only way of salvation. There's going to be a lot of people in hell who we may have thought of as good people, kind people, generous people, sincere people. The wicked don't all have horns growing out their head. Most are just ordinary folk who didn't want to obey God, but just wanted to live life their own way, to serve God on their own terms. You often hear people say that they serve God in their own way. Oh, I heard one guy once saying he had a special understanding with JC. I I'm afraid they're going to be sadly disappointed. Many will come, he said, and say, Lord, Lord, but they won't be able to enter in. They didn't do the will of God. They did it their way. And sincere as they may have been, or may not have been, it's not enough, is it? Because only Christ's blood is sufficient to save this morning. Only Abel's offering of the firstborn of the flock was accepted. Cain went away sad because God rejected his offering. And God said to him in Genesis 4, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. You know, Cain could have made the right choice after that, couldn't he? And he would have been accepted. But he didn't, did he? He became angry at his brother, jealous of his brother, and he ended up murdering his brother. You see, we don't have to settle for religion. It says, if we do well, we will be accepted. If we do it God's way, we'll be accepted. Cain could have obeyed God and sacrificed the firstborn sheep too, and God would have accepted his offering, but he chose to murder his brother. When God is challenging our lives and showing us what we need to do, we can choose to either obey him and receive the blessing of his grace, or we can choose to disobey, do it our own way, make our excuses, usually religious ones, and do what is right in our own eyes. And we probably come out with a religious excuse as to why we're not doing the will of God. We'll instead focus on some other issue, some hobby horse to distract us from what God wants. And God will keep bringing us back round till we deal with the issue that God wants to deal with. The only way of peace is the way of obedience. And it can be painful in the process. None of us want to have to die to self, to have to suffer or to face loss or rejection or whatever else the cost may be. But afterwards, the scripture tells us it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. See, religion doesn't bring life or peace, does it? It might bring temporary appeasement of our conscience if we're lucky. If we want life, though, we need to do it God's way, the way of the cross, the way of the Son of God. Even if that means us losing everything, for what we gain is far worth far more than what we lose, isn't it? 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And of course, without the shedding of blood, there is no salvation, is there? Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. There's only one way to eternal life. God's way, through Christ, through the cross, through the blood of Jesus. Without the Son of God, we do not have life. We just have religion and legalism. We're trying to please God in the flesh without the Son. And it's dead and it's lifeless. And it's worthless. If life could have come by just following a set of rules, then Christ needn't have died on the cross. Galatians 3:21 says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. You and I, we're called to follow Christ. Trying to go any other way will not lead to salvation. The path of least resistance is not usually God's path. Jesus said the road to heaven is a narrow road. Few there be that find it. Men only want to go their own way because God's way is unpalatable to them. They stumble at God's way because They don't want to change. They don't want to surrender. They don't want to have to submit their will to God. But unless we're willing to go God's way and serve God in His prescribed way, our offering of religion will never be accepted. It will just be the fruit and the vegetables. Men like to pick and choose how to obey God, don't they? Christians like to pick and choose how they obey God many times. As Alan often said, they pick the smorgasbord version of Christianity, tear out the pages that they don't like, when it's not something they don't want to deal with, or that's not convenient at this time. But we have to realise God has our best interests at heart this morning. He wants to save us. He wants to give us life. He wants to accept us in Christ. He is for us and not against us. We need to put our trust in Him and in the pathway He gives for our life. Put ourselves in His hands, knowing that He'll keep us and save us if we'll trust Him and obey Him. And even in the painful, difficult things that God deals with us with, we're not alone, are we? In the hard choices of life. He's there guiding us and leading us through. Just like with Israel, with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, we have to just follow and go the way He leads, not our way. Because man's way ultimately leads to death, doesn't it? But the way of the Lord leads to eternal life. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning.